Hey guys, Pastor Matt here. Welcome back to The Overcomers. We've been walking through the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and today is the last horse, and it's honestly the most insidious, and I think it's the one that all of us have experienced at some level, some of us more than others, but all of us have and probably will experience it, and that's the pale horse. And so if you have your Bibles open, I'm just going to read this. It's starting in verse 7. It's the fourth seal. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and its rider's name was Death, and Hades followed him. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by wild beast of the earth. So the pale horse, this word pale in the Greek, it's like a yellowish green. It's the color of death, the color of infection. It's just like, it's nobody's favorite color, all right? My favorite color is not like a pale yellow green. What we have in view here primarily, although we can read in the text that it's being killed by wild animals, what we're seeing is disease and death, pestilence. And I think one of the things we've seen in all three seasons of The Overcomers is cancer, sickness, a long battle with physical ailments. And this is the pale rider, and this will be the experience of the Church of Jesus Christ in the space between, in the already, but not yet. I think back to my own journey with cancer, which is, gosh, at the moment of filming this, close to 15 years ago, that the church kind of, it doesn't always agree on what to do with sickness. And so even when I was diagnosed, there were two camps that kind of shot up like right out of the gate. There was one camp, and that camp of Christians, well-meaning Christians, really believed that my healing was in some sense up to me. That if I just had enough faith, if I would just declare that I was going to be healed, if I just believed enough that I was going to be healed, then I would be healed. And then there was another camp, and they were just like, if it's the will of God, you will be healed. And so when these people would pray for me, it was like they were speaking to cells in my body. They were casting out cancer in the name of Jesus. And when these people would pray, they would just simply ask the Lord to heal, but only if it's the will of God that he would heal. And I found a great deal of tension between these two. Well, let me say this. One, I would just categorically disagree with this over here. I don't think that physical healing, miraculous physical healing, is a matter of my belief that I will be. I think that puts an undue amount of burden and anxiety on the person. And it's saying that they have to kind of whip up faith to believe. And I think it's harmful. And I've told our church for 21 years, let me tell you how I'm showing up to your hospital room. I'm not showing up demanding that you have enough faith to pull this off for God. I think it's a kind of overrealized eschatology. Like they were like, well, the Bible says by his stripes we are healed. And I'm saying, yes, absolutely. In the ultimate sense, we are. But that doesn't mean every sickness is going to be healed in the here and now. And then I found this one over here just kind of lacking. They wouldn't pray boldly that God would heal. They wouldn't, because they felt like in some way, oh man, well, what if it's not God's will to heal Matt? So don't let me pray that way. Let me just make sure I give God an out by asking for God to heal Matt, but then praying, if it be your will. And I think the tension and truth in scripture is in the middle of those two. And what I mean by that, and I've said this for a long time, when we look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going into the fiery furnace, and I know that's not physical illness, but there was a posture of heart there that I think lays across physical pain and suffering and sickness and pestilence in a significant way. Nebuchadnezzar is enraged. The fiery furnace has been, you know, stoked to, you know, so hot that it's going to consume a couple of soldiers that throw our brothers in there. They say to Nebuchadnezzar, our God can save us. He will save us. And even if he does not, we will not bow down to your golden image. And so I want to take that heart into praying for the sick. And I want to take that heart into my own sickness, where I'm saying, God can heal me. He is a miracle working God. And I want to take it a step further. And by faith, I'm going to believe, and God will heal me of this physical illness. And then I'm going to hold it all with an open hand and say, and even if he doesn't, I'm going to worship him and I'm going to praise him for the life that he's given me, for the goodness in my salvation, for the mercy and grace extended to me over and over and over again. And when this is our posture towards the pale rider, we really do make a mockery of what he's trying to accomplish. We literally sing in the face of pestilence and death. We turn it on its head. If you've ever seen someone near the end of their life because of sickness, and you've had the privilege, and that's what it is, the privilege of being near them on their deathbed and hearing them sing to the Lord and worship King Jesus in the midst of having their body ravaged by disease, you've seen the overcoming victory that has been given to the children of God. And this is why, as we get, you know, down there towards chapter 7 again, and who can stand? Who can stand in light of these things? Well, the people, man, I've been pastoring for 21 years. If you've watched the episodes of The Overcomer with like the Dang family and the Drake family who lost children, if you listen to Lauren and I's episode where I walk through like what it was like to be on the bathroom floor just trying to muster up enough strength to pull myself back up to the toilet to vomit nothing out of me again. And you've heard the testimonies of the nearness of Jesus, the disorientation of the time, but the goodness of his presence. You're seeing this rider on into Revelation 7 yet again. And if you've ever been to the funeral of a faithful saint who fought for their life against cancer and against other kinds of insidious diseases, you have seen the saints celebrate the life and lament the loss. And this is how we overcome. This is how we stand in the face of this wicked rider and make a mockery of what he wants to bring upon earth. It's not that it doesn't hurt. It's not that it doesn't stink. It's not that it's not hard. It's not that it's not awful and disorienting. It's that we know that healing will be ours miraculously in this life, or it will be ours in the life to come. But as the Apostle Paul says, death has no ultimate victory. Death has no sting because you and I are in Christ. And so even if you're watching this now and someone you love is sick, if you yourself are battling sickness, I want to just say, I know this one. Like, I've been this color. I have wore the color of the pale horse and its rider. I have had the yellowish green mark my skin. I have lost tons of weight. I've seen my eyes shrink in. I've seen my body swell because of steroids. I have felt the burn of radiation. I have smelled the smells of death. And I would testify that I would wrestle with this horse and what he was trying to take from me, my joy and gladness. And I would lean in with great hope that in this life or the one to come, I would have the last laugh over this insidious wickedness that's everywhere in the world. And we're talking about our world, the world of faith. And so I want to call you to faith. I want to call you to believe that he will heal. I want you to believe that he can heal. Like, drive from your mind those thoughts, because they still happen to me. Like, if I get a call and it's somebody in our congregation and it's stage 4 pancreatic cancer, I know the stats and numbers. I know that in a very real way, they are probably not long for this earth. And I want to remind myself that it is so easy for God to heal that in an instant without any diminishment of his own power, without taking anything away from his vitality and essence. He's able to do it. And then I want to double down and believe that he's going to do it. And I want to pray like he's going to. I want to expect. I want to even be a little frustrated if he doesn't, because I know he can, and I'm hoping that he will. But in every instant, I have to acknowledge that I am not God and he is, and I need to hold it with an open hand, knowing and believing that there is a literal physical resurrection coming. And the book of Revelation tells us there will be no remembrance of former things. There won't be tears. There won't be loss. There'll be imperishable bodies that have all the vitality and life that we can imagine. And we are closer to that even today. And so if you're there, here's what I want to do. This is a little bit different. I want to just pray for you right now, especially if you are sick right now. I want to pray for you. So I'm going to pray for us. And then I want us to orient our hearts as overcomers around this reality. God can, he will, but even if he doesn't, our confidence and worship belong to him and him alone. Let me pray. Father, I pray for whoever's listening to this right now or watching this right now, who might really find themselves in a bit of despair because of a prognosis or an ongoing fight with some disease, or maybe in the late stages of the fight with the disease. I want to pray, Holy Spirit, miraculously and in the name of Jesus, that you would in this instant heal them for the glory of King Jesus. I thank you for medicine. I thank you for doctors. I thank you for surgery. I thank you for all the kind of growing we've done technologically around sickness and disease. But I ask King Jesus for your glory right now, that the man or woman listening to this with headphones on or watching this on their phone in a bed or laying in a hospital room would be miraculously healed for your glory, your fame, and for the marveling of their own souls and the souls of their friends, family members, and churches. I ask you to do this because it's not hard for you, because you're willing and able to do this. And so I pray expectantly that not long from now, I'm going to get a DM or a random email from someone who is listening to this. And in an instant, the disease gave way, the pain lifted, vitality returned to the body, color flushed into their face, and your miraculous working power is made manifest in their body. We ask you to do this because we know you love us, and thank you for even the lessons that are being learned and taught and the clarity we get about you in these seasons. But we are coming today. I am coming today, and I'm asking for healing power for my friend here, listening, watching, drinking this podcast in this moment. And it's for your beautiful name we pray, King Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in to The Overcomers. I just pray your heart is always encouraged in the Lord. Really, the ministry I feel God's called me to in this season is to be one that's encouraging you, telling you the Lord sees you, reminding you of the opportunities that we have as the people of God in this day. And so the Overcomers podcast is one of the ways I do that. Another way is that I'm sending out a monthly newsletter. And in that, I've got a little audio link for kind of things I'm thinking about and wrestling through that I'm not necessarily preaching on. And so in the show notes is a link where you can go and sign up for that monthly email. And so, man, if The Overcomers is encouraging you, I would encourage you then to click on that link, sign up for the newsletter. And it's a way for me to further encourage you as you seek to live as overcomers in this current moment.